The Business Buzz Podcast. The Business Buzz with Mudiwa Mock Justice Gabaza.
Good day and welcome to the Business Buzz for your weekly dose of business, finance and economics news right here on VAW FM. That's Voice of Wits, broadcasting live from our studios in Bromfontein, Johannesburg. My name is Mudiwa Mock Justice Gabaza and I'll be your host for the next hour. Who's to say that the world of business can't be entertaining? Definitely make sure you hold on to your seats as we seek to keep you entertained, educated and intrigued about the world of business. Now for today, we are following on from a show that we had a few weeks ago where we gave you tips and tricks to help you not to get into the trap of making impulse purchases and manage your finances during the festive season. We spoke at the time to one of our resident experts, that's Zanele Kunene from BDO, and we're talking more along getting into the festive season, Black Friday, which happened this past week, by the way. And on Black Friday, before I continue, it's been very interesting to see and hear some of the numbers that were coming out from the companies out there, because there was some data that came through from a payments provider. There's a company called PayU, which is a fintech company, and they have they are backed by the company Prosus, and they actually recorded an increase of 14.1% in transaction volumes on their platform for Black Friday. But the number that really stood out to me is the fact that they said that between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. on the day, on Friday, last week on Black Friday, 38 million rand was spent in 1 hour. 1 hour that was spent, 38 million rand, with people buying and taking advantage of the specials. That was Black Friday, and those are some numbers coming from PayU. And if you think about the fact that this is just on PayU, we're not talking about the people that went into physical shops. We're not talking about people that were using other payments providers. It begins to paint a picture for you around how crazy Black Friday must have been. But beyond Black Friday, for today, we want to focus on beyond festive season. Yes, we are going to talk about how to plan for the festive season, continue that conversation, but more importantly, life in 2021, because it's always good to start planning well ahead. Usually people get into New Year's resolutions and the like, and we said no, we need to have financial plans for the year that's upcoming. So to help us to navigate the topic, we're going to be talking to Kirsty Scully, who is a certified financial planner and a chair-elect at the Financial Planning Institute of Southern Africa, and also an independent financial planner in Cape Town, just around financial planning for the festive season and the new year to come. Also, we're going to be getting into the business wrap, where we give you the roundup of the week's top economics news, and then we get into the Buffalo Index for the state of your 100 rand. Now remember that you can keep in touch with us. We are VAW FM, Voice of Wits. You can find us on Facebook. That is VAW FM or Voice of Wits, or Voice of Wits. Otherwise, our other Facebook page is Wits Radio Academy. On Twitter, it's at VAW FM, and then our hashtag is hashtag Business Buzz. You can also stream the station live on vawfm.co.za, and remember that our great content is available on wits.journalism.co.za/business. Otherwise, for people that can't tune in live, you can find our podcasts of the show are available on iono.fm together with Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts as well. So that's how the next hour is going to be looking. Don't turn that dial. This is the Business Buzz.
Mock Justice on the Business Buzz.
It's time for us to look back at the week's top trending business and economics news in our business wrap. And a good place for us to start is what happened last night. There was a family meeting. That's usually when President Cyril Ramaphosa comes on to address the nation, as has become the tradition during this COVID-19 period. And for last night, one of the big things was that the president was actually saying that South Africa has has actually recorded more than 4,400 new infections just on Wednesday alone, which is the largest daily increase in COVID-19 cases since the middle of August. And as a result, there are some restrictions that are being put in localized areas as opposed to blanket national restrictions. Stricter localized restrictions will only be implemented in COVID-19 hotspots, whilst the rest of the country continues to actually operate under the already established level one regulations. So last night, Nelson Mandela Bay was in the spotlight, you know, in the Eastern Cape, as it said that they're going to have tighter restrictions, which will include a 10 p.m. to 4 a.m. curfew. You'll know that in the rest of the country, the curfew runs from about midnight, and then they're also going to be curbs on the sale of alcohol from Monday to Thursday, and reduced numbers for gatherings as well. In addition, the president actually raised concern about, you know, coronavirus cases in places like the Sarah Batman district in the Eastern Cape, together with the Garden Route in the Western Cape. So that's how, you know, that was some of the big highlights that were coming out from there. Probably a good time for the president to be letting the country know what's going to be happening as we get into the festive season. Switching over to the realm of economics, there are some economists that are actually warning of a jobs bloodbath, you know, over salary hikes for domestic, you know, and farm workers. You know, that's what's happening because the National Minimum Wage Commission, which comprises independent experts and representatives from labor and the business community, has actually recommended increases of 16% and 20% for farm and domestic workers respectively. The farming and domestic work sectors are among the largest employers in the country, and have actually been facing in a country that's actually facing a 30.8% unemployment rate. And this is an issue that is being big at the moment, because people are going through some negotiations at the moment, and these are some recommendations coming out from that committee. And then the other one, this one is quite an interesting one, but it seems that the presidency has actually says that more than 400,000 job opportunities have been created or supported through the 100 million rand employment stimulus plan, which was formed part of the president's economic recovery plan, aiming to create 800,000 part-time job opportunities this year, in addition to building on public employment programs such as roads construction and municipal cleaning. Some of these innovations have been added, such as a school teaching assistant, early childhood education workers, and other employment opportunities for the youth. So that's how the, you know, that's how the economy is looking like for this week. The only other thing that's happened is that we got some manufacturing numbers, you know, a bit of a slowdown on that end. On the other side of this, we come to the Buffalo Index, where we tell you the state of your 100 rand.
You're tuned in to the Business Buzz. The Buffalo Index on the Business Buzz.
It's time for us to get into the Buffalo Index. That's the part of the show where we tell you what your 100 rand looks like. And for today, because we are talking about the world of investing and how as a young person you can get into investing, I have a list of five books that I would recommend that anyone who wants to get into investing can actually, you know, read for themselves and, you know, start off this journey. I'm happy to say that I've read four out of the five books I'm about to recommend, and you know, I think this is makes for good reading, opens up your mind. You don't necessarily have to follow what's said, but it's just good to be aware, and these are the type of books that actually help you to get thinking about, you know, your life in the world of investing. But also I've thrown in, you know, two business books, what I think are business books, and they sort of help you to maybe around finding your purpose, deciding what it is that you want to do with your life, which may also then inform what do you actually want to achieve from your investing life. You want to build a house one day? Are you trying to create wealth for you and your family? Are you trying to create generational wealth that will outlast last your lifetime, and you know, maybe serve two or three generations down the line. Where do you want to go? So the first book is Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich. That is a staple. You often hear this book being spoken about. That will cost you about 2.5 buffaloes at 236 rand. And then Simon Sinek, he has one called Start With Why. That's another one for 2.5 buffaloes, coming in at 221 rand. Your 3 buffaloes at 300 rand could get you a book from a local author. That is Muteto Nyati with Betting on a Donkey. He is the CEO of Altron, formerly managing director of Microsoft in South Africa. Just talking about his life's journey. Very good reading if you want to get into the world of business and maybe finding your purpose. And then Benjamin Graham, The Intelligent Investor, that's you know, the most expensive book on this list at 4.5 buffaloes or 460 rand. This is one of those books. It's a seminal work, and you have people like Warren Buffett talking about how this was one of the books that actually led them down the road of investing. And Benjamin Graham was actually quite influential in his life. And then the last book on the list is Tony Robbins. He's coming in with a book called Money Master the Game. Another 2.5 buffaloes, coming in at 241 rand. So with about 2, maybe 3 buffaloes, you can get yourself one of these books, so with the exception of Benjamin Graham's book, and it's definitely very good reading, and much recommended for anyone who's looking at a career in business and the world of investing and finding your purpose, because all of it is informed. So that's been it in terms of the Buffalo Index. On the other side of this, we get into the main topic.
You're tuned in to the Business Buzz.
So we are talking about how to, you know, look back at 2020 and perhaps improve for 2021, because for a lot of consumers out there, 2020 is one of those years that was just tough on the pocket. But maybe some proactive steps could help us all to get started around how to plan for 2021, and, you know, just to make sure that we're good and ready, and that we, you know, we hold on to some of the things that we say that we are. And to help us to unpack and maybe give us some tips and tricks on how we can do that, we're joined by Kirsty Scully, who is a certified financial planner and also chair elect of the Financial Planning Institute of Southern Africa, and also an independent financial planner in Cape Town. So Kirsty, greetings to you.
Hello, good to chat to you then, Nadiva.
I think just, you know, before we actually talk about, you know, how to plan for, you know, 2021, just from your professional viewpoint, how has 2020 really been for people and their pockets?
You know, what I would say for the majority of people, 2020 has been an incredibly tough year. It really has. We've seen so many people losing jobs, and money has been tight, and it really has taught us the importance of having money set aside for an emergency fund. But in so generally, I would say, yes, it has been a particularly tough year. However, it has been amazing the number of businesses which actually have been able to start up and get going in these adverse circumstances. And I've been absolutely flabbergasted at how many businesses have in fact been able to do well. So it's really been a bit of a mixed year, but generally speaking, for most people, it has been particularly tough.
So I guess against that backdrop and reflecting on that tough year, how can we actually improve for 2021? Are there any specific ideas to actually help our people out there to actually plan their finances in order to have a successful 2021?
Yes. Well, you know, I'm always optimistic. I'm one of those optimistic people. I love the thought of planning for the new year, and I think it brings with it so much hope and excitement. But yes, where do we really start? And I know it sounds particularly cliched, but it's been proven over and over again. If you spend less and save more, your finances will definitely be more, will certainly be better. And one of the things to look at really is to to, and I know it sounds very boring to a lot of people, but if you instill a budget in your life with your finances, you will honestly find that you end up with financial freedom at the end of the day. So, because a budget allows you to track your progress. It allows you to also set goals. It's interesting, a couple of months ago, I was reading a survey which had been done. It was, in fact, a 20-year survey that was done with the Harvard University in the States. And through this survey, what they did was they showed that it's how important it is to have goals, but not just to have written goals, but actually to also have graphic goals. So by that I mean having pictures with your goals. So for example, if you would like to go on a holiday to Paris, then put a photo of the Eiffel Tower on your fridge or on your bathroom mirror or something like that, somewhere where you're going to see it every day, because that is going to really help you to achieve it. You're much more likely to achieve your trip to Paris if you've actually got that photo, that picture, the graphic goal set in front of you. So yes, I'm a big one for budgeting and working out how to spend less and therefore save more.
As you're talking, I'm getting a vision of those vision boards that people tend to have with the magazine cutouts and, you know, all the little things that they want for themselves. But I guess just a quick follow-up to that one, from your experience, in terms of actually getting people committed to these financial plans, is it better for a person to have, you know, a very detailed spreadsheet, this is what I'm going to spend my money on, or something like what you said, where there is that picture that excites someone?
Well, I definitely think it's a combination of the two, because the picture, for example, of the Eiffel Tower, is going to give you that goal. It's going to be able to make you think about that the whole time. But on the other hand, having something like an Excel spreadsheet as an example of being able to track where your finances are going, are going to be able to help you see, my word, I'm spending far too much on whatever, going out for coffee as an example. And if I reduce that, I could have saved myself 300 Rand or something like that for the month. And that could have been 300 Rand towards my trip to Paris, you know, using those examples. So I think it's a combination. You need them both.
And with that in mind, then, what are just some of the principles that you may have for our listeners just around having that financial success in the new year?
Well, you know, as a financial planner, I believe we can actually simplify the principles that we have. And I simplify it down to 3 points. The points are give, save, and then spend what's left over. But if you have debt, then it's slightly different. And I'm going to say the principles then become give, pay your debt, save, and then spend what's left over. So I do believe paying off the debt is very important, and it comes in second position after giving.
And how do you actually expand on each one of those?
Okay, well, when it comes to giving, I'm a firm believer that we should all be giving. So, you know, even if you look at it from a religious point of view, if you look, you know, whether you go to a church and you give there, or whether you go to a mosque and you give there, or whether you go to a synagogue, or even a charity, ensure that whatever it is that you're doing, you are giving, and you're giving on a monthly basis. And I don't believe it needs to be a fixed amount. I think it really comes from the bottom of your heart, what it is that you would actually like to give. And just make sure that every month you give, and that's your number one priority in the order of how to spend money. The second priority would be to pay your debt, of course, if you've got debt. But in this case, what I'm saying, assuming one doesn't have any debt, the second priority would then be to save. And I call this pay yourself. Okay. So when I'm talking about paying yourself, every month you need to be paying yourself. And that paying yourself should be done immediately after payday. So say, for example, you're paid on the 30th or the 31st, you need to have debit orders which run on the 1st of the month into your savings. And that savings can be your retirement savings, it could be your saving for a home, your first home as an example, it could be saving for further studies, that sort of thing. But make sure that every month you are saving, no matter how little you are earning. Even if you're a student and you don't think you're earning much, make sure that whatever it is, it's some of what you're receiving, you open the way into savings.
So we are talking to Kirsty Scully, who is a certified financial planner, just around the year that 2020 has been, as we start looking forward and trying to plan for the year that's going to be 2021. We're just going to take a quick break and we'll be back on the other side of this.
COVID Biz Watch on the Business Buzz.
In our COVID Business Watch, we look at the impact of COVID-19 on various businesses in and around South Africa. And in this week's edition, it is based on someone who started a company during the pandemic and is actually having a great event in partnership with Alan Gray soon. Our producer, Slindile Msibi, spoke to Standiwe Msomi, who is the co-founder and chief operating officer of the gym company. She is currently pursuing a BCom degree, majoring in economics and finance at the university, and is the co-founder of the Finance Gym Company. She is a Golden Key Scholar, writer, presenter, and among other numerous entrepreneurial endeavors that she has gotten herself into. The Finance Gym is one of the few that actually translates into a direct impact into people's lives. She is 20 years old from Durban in KZN. The company is actually operating from there and provides financial literacy education through their online website. So she was just answering some questions for us. When did you decide to start the Finance Gym during the pandemic? Actually, why did you do that? And also, what are the three main things young people can do to track their finances during this time? What is your event about? What are you hoping to achieve, and what advice would you have for those struggling with the budgeting? Here's what she had to say.
I would say that the pandemic gave us extra motivation to launch our website. This is the time when people are connected more than ever virtually and working online. And so we know that audiences are plugged in, and why not plug them in with content to help them increase financial literacy rates? And that's why the work that we do here at the Finance Gym is so valuable to helping people map out their financial goals, especially at a time like this when economies have taken a knock. Knowing how to use our money wisely can definitely help us navigate the space of personal finance. We as the Finance Gym think that the three main things that young people should really look at when it comes to their finances, especially during this time, is first of all, budgeting. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And so a budget can really help a lot of us see where our expenses are drawn up, where our income is coming from, and what are the things that we buy that really aren't helping us move forward and achieve our financial goals. The extra coffee that you buy at Starbucks that isn't necessary could really be a penny that you put into investing in your business or in capital markets or debt securities. And so that's why we believe that budgeting is a crucial skill that we all need to cultivate. During this time, we hear every day on the news that a company has retrenched a plethora of workers and unemployment rates have skyrocketed. And in the midst of all of the economic battles that we face, it's important for us to become creative about how we generate extra income. If you have skill or a love, how you can capitalize on that and start your own bakery. If you are good at developing apps and good at technology, how can you help companies that are now looking to pivot their businesses to operate online? Being creative and innovative about developing multiple streams of income is so imperative to survive in such a fickle economy and in such volatile times that we live in. And then thirdly, young people should really look at how they set financial goals for themselves. It's important to look at the future and ask yourself, business or whatever else that you want to do, these are things that we need to think about. And to reach financial goals, we need financial skills. We need to learn budgeting skills. We need to learn about investments, about annuities, about retirement funds, and all of these things. So setting financial goals for yourself is incredibly important because it allows you to divert your attention to learning the skills that you need to get to that goal. Our event that is coming up on Friday is an amazing event that we've curated in partnership with Alan Gray. We've titled our event Defining Your Financial Future because we do believe that in order to have a successful financial future, you need to know that you are the author of your financial destiny. And so we want to equip our audiences with the skills to make wise financial decisions to develop a strong foundation for their financial futures. Our event will be on Zoom from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. and we have amazing speakers, some from Alan Gray and one that we've reached out to. His name is Zali Mambuele. He is a property entrepreneur and is very, very known for the impact that he's made in the property space and within his different property endeavors. And our two speakers are from Alan Gray, and they'll also be touching on numerous subjects around personal finance. We're going to be talking about things such as budgeting, certain financial goals, multiple streams of income, and investment options that you can make. And we think that these are aspects that young people can look at to integrate into their own personal financial destiny and be successful. Our advice to those who are struggling with budgeting is plug into all the networks and resources that you can. There's so much information out there about budgeting. There's so many books about budgeting. Our website has so much information about budgeting. And so knowledge is power. Knowledge gives you the power to change the course of your life. And we believe that organizations such as ourselves and other organizations are really there to give you that knowledge to be the author of your own financial destiny.
COVID BizWatch. COVID BizWatch on the Business Buzz. You're tuned in to the Business Buzz.
Welcome back to the Business Buzz. If you haven't already, please follow us on Facebook. We are VFM on Voice of Vits. You can either find our other Facebook page, that is Vits Radio Academy. On Twitter, we're at VFM, and then our hashtag is hashtag Business Buzz. Now, before the break, we were talking to Kirsty Scully, and we're going to continue our conversation. Instead of, you know, just planning just around what's going on in the festive season, we are also now looking at how to plan better for the year to come. It's a big thing because, you know, apart from having fun during this time, we have to look forward to what's going on. So let's continue the conversation with Kirsty. When it comes to actually savings, when we talk about emergency funds versus you paying for yourself, is there a distinction that you draw? Can someone include an emergency fund? How do you define an emergency fund?
Yeah, I'm a firm believer that every single person needs to have an emergency fund, whether you're a student, whether you earn a lot of money, it doesn't matter what it is. And people often say to me, but how much money should be in an emergency fund? And the interesting thing is that, well, certainly it's obviously going to vary from person to person, but statistically, the more electronic gadgets you own, the bigger your emergency fund should actually be. I think that's quite an interesting fact to know. But I think COVID has also taught us a lot. And, you know, people have always said to me over the years, how many months should we have set aside of expenses? And I think COVID has taught us that we need to have at least 6 months. At least 6 months. I mean, ideally one would have a year, but let's face it, we're not all born with a silver spoon in our mouths. So, you know, I think to say a year might just, you know, push most of us over the limit with how much we can actually afford to put in an emergency fund. But certainly, if we can have about 6 months of money put aside, that would certainly do you well.
And then I guess tied to that then, because if you're going to be paying yourself first and you're going to have debit orders, someone prudent might then have a plan in mind. So, you know, shifting over to that, you know, all important B word, budgeting.
I think people get tired of me always talking about budgeting, but the point is that if you have a budget, you will end up with a successful finances. So we've talked about giving, we've talked about paying your debt, we've talked about saving, and the last thing is we're going to spend what's left of our money. But when we spend it, we need to have a budget. Create a budget, because it's certainly going to improve your finances. And it's a fairly simple process. you need to record all your income. You know, some people have got income from different sources. Maybe it's a bursary that you've got that gives you an income. Maybe it's a job that's giving you an income. Maybe it's rental property that's giving you an income. You know, numerous ways that that people are getting income. You need to record what your total income is. And that kind of goes on the one side of the page. And on the other side of the page, you then need to list what your expenses are. So, and obviously expenses vary, but certain expenses will stay the same. For example, your rent or your bond, home loan, that's going to kind of, for most months, going to be basically the same. Put it all down. You need to write down absolutely everything, what it costs you to live. And the most important thing is that you need to ensure that the amount you are spending is less than the income that you're getting in.
And I think, you know, one of the things that we rarely then talk about is, you know, when it comes to financial planning, a bit morbid, but it is a reality, is, financial planning as it pertains to death. Any insights on this?
Absolutely. I think, you know, this is where everybody's situation, again, is different. But you need to look at your own family situation. So if you're young, free, and single, and you've got no debt, well, you probably don't need anything such as life cover. However, if you perhaps have a family and you've got children or you've got a spouse who could be dependent on you, you need to think about is what would happen in the event of your death. How would they manage if you weren't there to provide for them? And if you do have those dependents, you need to have something like life cover to be able to provide for them in the event that you're not there. The other thing is that if you are one of those young, free, and single people, perhaps you've got your first job and you're working, it is so imperative that you have income protection. People often say to me, what is the most important insurance that I can be taking? I can't afford to take everything, so what's the most important? Well, firstly, I think it's to have a medical aid. That's number one. But the second most important insurance to have is to have income protection. So if something happens to you, get hit by the proverbial bus, and you cannot work, you need to then have an income that's going to pay you monthly, and not just for necessarily a short period of time. Yes, it must be for the time that you can't work, but that could also be right through to the age of at least 65, and you need to have that income protection there so that you can actually therefore live and not be dependent on anybody else. And you know, a good financial planner will be able to calculate for you exactly what it is that you need to provide for your family or to in the event of your death, or to provide for yourself in the event that you can't work.
On the last point, because of time, I think maybe we can just get your thoughts then, as a concluding thought around wills, because once again, one of those topics that I don't think people are really talking about that much. We often focus a lot around, you know, as a young person, you need to save for retirement and all of these things. But, you know, issues of wills, we don't really hear much about that.
Well, that's very true. And everybody who is over the age of 16 who has any form of assets should have a will. And it's really important that you draft this. Now, a will allows you to state who is going to receive your assets in the event of your death. And I really want to encourage people to put a will together, because so often there's fighting within a family after somebody dies. And you can solve that problem by actually specifying who needs to inherit from you. So you can specify that. What the other thing that you're able to do, if you've got children, you are able to specify who would be the guardian of those children. Because you're going to be particular about this. You don't want just anybody looking after your children. And you can say exactly who must look after your children in the event of your death. And then, of course, the last thing that a will allows you to do is to put on there who is the executor, who would be the person who actually winds up your estate. And I want to encourage you there to use a professional. Don't just try and get your brother or your sister or your husband or wife to do it. Get somebody who's a professional to do it. It is not an easy task. It's a lot of work that needs to be done with it. So get a professional to do it. And when you draft a will, or when you get somebody to draft a will for you, you can ask them to add a living will to it. Because a living will allows you to talk in the event that you can't. So, for example, if you have maybe been in a terrible accident and you're declared to be brain dead, you can specify there in your living will that you do not want to be kept alive on a ventilator, and they must rather medicate you so that you don't feel any pain and you die naturally at that point. So that's what the importance of having a will.
So that's been us with Kirsty Scully, a certified financial planner. She is based in Cape Town, just giving us some insight into what's actually going on at this year end time, starting off talking about the pressure that South Africans have been under in 2020, but at the same time, how some people, especially in the business sector, have been able to come up with some interesting businesses to actually weather this time. But the key of the conversation was just planning for 2021, and she's just advocating that the basics, right? You spend less, you save more, and then beyond that, you know, just having, you know, a plan in mind, giving, you know, paying your debt, saving, and then how to plan your expenditure through a budget. And then we also touched a little around, you know, how to protect yourself and your family, insurance in case of death or in an ability to work, and then how to cover yourself when it comes to wills, because it does save that that infighting within families if something unfortunate is to happen to you. Kirsty, thank you so much for being on the show. How can people perhaps get in touch with you if they want to maybe engage further?
They're absolutely welcome to do that. I think what's important is that if they would like to find a financial planner, they can look on the website for the Financial Planning Institute of Southern Africa, which is fpi.co.za. I think that's probably the best way. And otherwise, they can look me up, Kirsty Scully.
Okay, so you heard Kirsty Scully, look her up. Otherwise, you can look out, some of those resources online, and then, go engage. And she's actually saying, engage with someone who is professional. So that's been it. On the other side of this, we continue with the show. Keep it locked. This is The Business Buzz.
Mob Justice on The Business Buzz.
So that's been it for today's show. Thank you so much to Kirsty for just sharing her insights with us around this important topic of financial planning for the festive season, and more importantly the new year. You heard her talking around some of these issues, wills, and paying yourself first and getting yourself on a budget. These are likely things that many of us have heard before in different contexts, but it doesn't mean that they're any less important. And I really like the practical elements of what she was saying, especially around paying yourself first. And that's how the conversation has been. But you can join in with us and just let us know, do you have a budget that's set for just the festive season? Have you started planning your finances for 2021 yet? You can let us know. On Facebook, we have our FM Voice of Wits. You can either find our other Facebook page, that is the Wits Radio Academy. On Twitter, we're at VFM. Our hashtag is #businessbuzz. And remember that you can search for us on iono.fm for our podcasts and our links, together with all the other mainstream platforms such as Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also find our great content for the Business Buzz Show on vits.journalism.co.za/business. So with that, we've reached the end of today's show. Thank you so much to our amazing team. Our technical producer is Kutlwano Serame, together with our executive producer Glory Mabuza, and our producers Slinlim Sibi, Ntando Qimba, together with Simbarashe Honde. Don't miss the Business Buzz, same time, same place next week. It's likely our last show for the year, so definitely make sure you tune in to that one. Don't turn that dial. There's more great content coming up on the Vow FM lineup. So for myself, Mdiwa Mob, Justice Kabaza, and Riz team, it is take care.
The Business Buzz with Mdiwa Mob, Justice Kabaza. The Business Buzz Podcast.